The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to episode 109 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I think, can we see each other? I'm just trying to, can we see this week?
Have you pressed record, Producer John, on the YouTube channel?
Are we in vision this week?
Because last week, Producer John forgot to press record. You did forget to press record, which is why we had no video of the show last week and nobody could see my happy dance for the Hearts victory.
And there won't be a happy dance this week, of course. Will there? Because you got beat.
So did you?
Yeah, no, aye. Well, I mean, that's not news.
There's one happy dance, and yeah. I'm getting pissy sicky the one happy dance
aye.
Happening more often than not.
Who's that going to be?
Shut up, John.
Shut up.
Just you concentrate on pressing record this week, John.
Yeah,
all right?
That's the problem here. He's too...
Aye!
He's too...
You're right, Ewan!
He's far too busy thinking of ways to wind us up and concentrating on his happy dance and not doing the job that he gets paid for, which is to press record on the YouTube channel so that we can be seen in vision. We had nothing last week because he was too busy dancing around the studio.
Exactly, prancing around.
Aye.
Exactly, thinking the league's won already, you know, the usual stuff.
Yeah. Getting ahead of himself.
I saw him tweeting at the weekend and he's giving it, oh yeah, you know.
Do I start to believe it now?
I believe and, you know, I think we've got the title. We could have it wrapped up by January
or something. I did not say that.
Yeah, and you're just thinking, oh, well, who are we going to sign next season for?
Anyway.
You think you've got it wrapped up.
Right,
so.
By the way, Ewan, stop spreading this rumour that I forgot to push record last week. It was a technical fault. I can go into the ins and outs of Virtual Director if you would like me to do that.
Nobody's interested.
Yeah, nobody's interested. Right? Listen, John.
People just know that you didn't do your job because you were too busy farting about dancing to fucking Amarillo. So that's what happened.
And I get to dance again today!
Well, if we lock the bucket door, you won't.
We've barricaded the door. So how are you, Ewan Cameron?
I'm not too bad. Despite defeat last night to Rangers, we'll talk about that shortly. I had a good weekend. The only thing that I'm going to talk about is a movie that I watched.
Going straight in with your recommendation.
Yeah, it was easily the highlight of my weekend. So I'm going to go straight in with a recommendation. And it's a horror movie. Is it a horror movie? It kind of is a horror movie stroke thriller. It's about a serial killer in the United States played by the brilliant Nicolas Cage. And if you didn't know Nicolas Cage was in the movie, you wouldn't have a clue because the makeup is so good. It doesn't look anything like Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
He's an actor.
They sometimes do that in films.
Right, what I'm going to say about Long Legs, and it's received quite a bit of hype on social media, this movie. You're either going to love it or you're going to hate it. There is no middle ground with Long Legs. There is no middle ground with this movie. And my advice to you would be this. Do not, under any circumstances, get up and go to the toilet. Don't get up and go and get yourself a snack or make a cup of tea. Once you press play on the movie, you need to sit and watch it. You can't miss even a second of this movie because you will lose track.
Well, I don't know if you're familiar, but it's 2024 and they've got this thing where you can pause something.
Even then,
go and get a snack and then come back and press play.
Even then, you're going to forget what you've just watched. And then when you
Why would you forget what you just watched?
You can't do that. So make sure you've done
really
your business.
Short-term memory.
Make sure you've done your business at the toilet before the movie. Make sure you've got
or
your
have
snacks.
Or have a commode.
Some people use a bottle.
Yeah, or just like a pot beside the
cooking pot.
Ah, exactly. Beside the couch.
If you want to squat over a cooking pot while you're watching a movie, fair play. That's fine.
That's up to you. You can use a shiwi.
Do those things actually work?
Well, I don't know. I'm not a woman. Does
your wife ever use a shiwi?
Not to my knowledge.
My wife used it.
Right.
She just stood up against a bush.
And did it work for her?
I watched her doing it.
Right.
It was interesting.
Right.
Because you have to position in a certain position.
Well, of course you do. Yeah, that's the whole point.
I mean, they know their bits better than I do.
I would hope so.
So it did look like she was peeing from a penis.
Yeah, well, again, that's the whole point in a shiwi, I think.
And it works very well. So I would, from my wife's perspective, I would recommend a shiwi. And you could use that when you're watching Long Legs, and you could use a shiwi over a pot from the kitchen.
Right.
Can you imagine that?
Even by this podcast standards, what a way.
What a way to start.
6 minutes in and...
using shiwis over a cooking pot.
Yeah.
That's my point, though. You don't want to miss or pause the movie. Cool. Because you're going to lose track of it and then you're going to hate it.
So stock up on the shiwis and the cooking pots.
Yeah, when you're watching this film.
Yeah.
For me, I would say... here we are in November 2024, and not only is it one of the best horror movies of the year, it's one of the best movies of 2024. But you have to be in the right frame of mind to watch it. As I said, you're either going to love it or you're going to hate it.
You say 20 funny.
Do I say 20 funny?
You do say 20 funny. You say 20.
20.
T-W-I-N-N-Y. 20.
So 20,
2024.
Don't ruin my recommendation.
I'm not ruining anything.
So,
but you said it's the best movie of 2024.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Serial killer.
It's in his 20s.
But when? But the serial killer isn't the serial killer.
What decade is it set in? Is it the
1980s? No, 60s, 70s, 80s and 90s.
Not the 20s.
No.
Right.
It's a serial killer who's not the serial killer.
Well, thanks for ruining that.
No, because... no,
thanks that, for yet again.
No, it's not ruining it. You keep
ruining
saying
the film.
You keep saying that I ruined the movie. I am not ruining the movie. All I'm saying to you...
all you're doing is giving us all the details so we don't
I'm
need to watch it.
I'm not giving you the details because it is a horror.
Oh, sorry, most of the details.
It's a horror. It's a thriller. It's
and the serial killer's not the serial killer.
It's so a whodunit. It's evil.
That particular
there's,
twist.
There's possession in it. Like, the devil's involved. It's got... all the elements you need for a good thriller and a good horror, and it leaves you guessing at the end of the movie as well. It's brilliant. I cannot recommend it enough.
But surely the fact that you have told us that you need to be guessing at the end of the movie and it's itself a spoiler.
It's not guessing, Stephen.
You literally just said you're left guessing at the end of the movie.
No, it's like a lot of movies, it's open to interpretation.
Right.
I'm not giving anything away.
Kind of.
Everyone has their own interpretation about how the movie ends.
No.
And it's called Long Legs. Get it, watch. It's only an hour and a half. Fabulous. I sent you a clip yesterday on the WhatsApp group.
I didn't watch it.
Why didn't you watch it?
Because
did you watch it, Producer John?
I was busy. I mean, Producer John was busy as well.
What clip?
Exactly.
I sent a clip of the movie.
Oh,
Long
yeah,
Legs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I did watch it.
The bit where he smashing the face on the floor, on the table.
Aye. Is what? It good? Is it good? Oh, I mean, I've just listened to your recommendation. I don't like horror films, though, Ewan.
No, it's more thriller than horror.
Right, okay.
It's a bit like...
thriller.
It's a cross between... Here's the best way to describe it. Long Legs is a cross between The Exorcist and Seven.
Oh, that's a good review.
The Exorcist and Seven. It's a cross between those two genres of movies. That's how good it is.
Wow.
Serial killer has been on the loose for 30 years... and there's but a bit of the Exorcist in it.
He's not the serial killer.
No, he is, but he's not. The serial killer who you think the serial killer is, but he isn't. That's what I'm saying. It's amazing.
Right, okay.
Get it watched.
Great.
And stick with it and use a shiwi and you'll be fine.
And you'll be fine. Good stuff. Excellent. Well, we can all move on from that. What's it called? Long Legs.
Long Legs with Nicolas
Cage. And where can we see that?
On the telly.
On the telly. Great.
Yes.
Okay, on the telly. Brilliant. Great stuff. Great answer.
What did you do at the weekend?
What did I do at the weekend?
Did you not go and see your mother-in-law?
I did, yes, yesterday.
And how was that?
My father-in-law. It was fine, yeah. Only
do you like them?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, they're nice.
Because you don't have a choice in that. You may fall in love with the woman that you're in love with,
mm-hmm.
and you have to accept who comes along with the
wife.
You
can't choose your family.
You can't choose your family. And you chose Anna because
mm-hmm.
you love her and you got married, but you can't choose... what comes with Anna. So
yeah.
When you finally met what came with Anna, you're still happy to marry her?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, it would have been quite the move to go, well, I'm really sorry. I can't marry you because of that.
If you didn't like the mother and the father-in-law...
I just wouldn't go and see them.
Ah, but you'd still marry Anna.
A fairly sort of straightforward solution to that.
When I can talk about this because we're all friends now, but when Teresa and I got married, the mother-in-law and the father-in-law tried to stop us from getting married. I mean, literally tried to stop us. They went to St. Andrew's Church and spoke to the minister and asked them not to marry us. That's right. How much they were against us getting married. Teresa was 17 going on 18, and I was a dick.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally was a dick. Yeah. I was a bad boy. I was doing naughty things, and I wasn't, I don't want to say too much, but they didn't like me, and they didn't want their daughter to marry me.
Yeah. But we. It turns out they were right.
Well, no, because I've proved them wrong. And now we're all back together and we're happy families.
Right, okay.
But it did take 9 years for us to get back together because I didn't forgive them. I mean, everybody was at my wedding apart from any side of her family. They all refused to go. There was 240 guests at the wedding and nothing for my wife. And it was really sad. So what we did was in 2014, we renewed our vows so that her family could come and watch that. So our brother... And the mum and the dad all turned up and they got to walk her down the aisle.
That's a lovely, legitimate reason for renewing your vows. But whenever I hear of anyone else renewing their vows, I'm like, what have you done?
What have you done? Aye.
What's happened there?
What's
then?
Happened there? And you've had to sort...
Something's happened aye. There.
So, and, so we did it for the family who didn't get to go the first time round.
Yeah. And
we
had I think that's a lovely reason to do it, I would say.
But it was more the dad that didn't want me... in the family. It wasn't so much the mum. I did it more for the mum when we renewed our vows, Anne, because I think she was upset not being able to go to the wedding first time round. So we kind of more or less did it for her, but it was nice that everybody was there. The entire family turned up and they got to walk her down the aisle, et cetera, and we did all that in Linlithgow. So we're all happy families now, and I do like the mother-in-law and I do like the father-in-law and I love the brother and all that comes with the family.
Brother.
The brother. Yeah. But we hardly see him, so that helps.
Listen, it's the same. There'll be lots and lots of people listening.
Yes.
Who all have the same thing.
You like your in-laws.
Yes, I do, yeah.
Yeah. And do you like everyone else that comes with the family, like away from the in-laws, like aunties, uncles and all that? Yeah,
yeah.
So where are you spending Christmas this year?
At theirs.
So you're doing it Turneach?
Yeah, it was at my mum and dad's last year.
And you're going to Anna's mum and dad.
Yeah.
Where would you rather be? I'm really trying to get you in trouble here. Where would you rather be?
To be honest, I generally can't be arsed with Christmas.
Can't you?
No.
It's the best day of the year.
It's not.
It really is.
It's hassle.
It's amazing.
Like, I go between wanting to just get steaming on Christmas Day, right?
And forget everything.
Well, no, not forget everything, but just be like, oh, just have, like, you know, a right good party on Christmas Day. Or then I'm just like, I actually can't be bothered and I'll just drive and I'll just be the designated driver. I don't mind doing that. For example, this year, I'm the designated driver and I'm totally fine with that.
And you can leave earlier when you're the designated driver.
That means I can call the shots and when I want to go home, I go to my bed. Yeah, exactly.
So an hour or so after dessert, you can go.
Exactly. And then there's like, again, even with my mum and dad, I love my mum and dad, obviously, but if I'm spending a prolonged period of time with them, they'll begin to do my fucking boxing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they've obviously got their routines and what they do and what they do in their life and all the rest of it. And that isn't necessarily compatible with what I want to do. Now, I don't know, like, at any time you go back and sort of stay with your folks for whatever. Like, I was back last week because I had a 30th birthday party back home. So I just stayed at my mum and dad's. They are the loudest people in the world in the morning. Slamming doors, like,
pots and pans.
Hoovering at 8:30 in the morning. Like, just saying, Stuart, where's that dish tap? I don't know where it is, like that. And I'm like, it's 8:30 on a Sunday morning. Could we just sort of chill it out a wee bit? My dad watches the telly at about 65 on volume as well, so that our next door neighbour can hear it. So stuff like that.
Hi. On Christmas morning, we all get dressed up in onesies, me, my wife, and the three kids, and we've all got the same onesies.
You've got kids, so it's different. Like, right. I get it. That's fine.
Aye. And we jump in we do this every year. Put our Christmas onesies on, we jump in the car, we drive around to my sister's. We go to my sister's and we have a bacon roll, we spend a couple of hours there and we're home by midday at the very latest because I refuse to go anywhere else for Christmas.
Have you ever had Christmas out in a restaurant?
No, can't do it. I need to be in my house.
Right.
I want to be in my house with the family. I ain't going to somebody else's house. I ain't going to a restaurant.
I know people who go out for Christmas dinner to a restaurant every single year.
Nah. And they don't want the mess.
Aye, exactly. It's less, fair enough, it's often quite expensive. But it's that way where you do none of the cooking. You do none of the cleaning up.
But it's expensive though, Stephen. We've looked at it.
That's what I just said. It is quite expensive. But I've also had Christmas abroad. And now you'll have had that abroad because you lived abroad. Yeah. But even when you lived here, have you ever been abroad for Christmas, like gone away for Christmas? Because, by the way, tremendous.
Going away.
Great. Oh, great.
I would never go away for Christmas. I want to be at home for Christmas. I can't get on a plane and then spend Christmas in a foreign land.
Why?
I just can't.
But it's just I don't know. I just see it as another day.
It's not. I like to have the family around. I like a cosy house. I like my Christmas movie. I like to have my dinner at 3 o'clock and then you veg out on sweeties and chocolate and cups of tea and maybe a wee glass of wine and a couple of beers and you watch a movie together as a family. You might doze off while you're watching the movie. Then you wake up and then you watch what was the comedy special that night with some Christmas pudding and custard.
The comedy special?
Like Gavin and Stacey.
Oh, right, okay, I thought you meant like Morecambe and Wise. I was like, well, you're going back quite a bit, no, Ewan. I mean,
like an Only Fools and Horses, like in the 90s.
25 years ago.
So that's what I love, and I love that feeling.
Well, each to their own.
Each to their own.
I generally can't be bothered with it. And we are on the big Saturday football show, except it's not Saturday, on Boxing Day.
Are we on Boxing Day?
A six-hour show on Boxing Day we're doing as well.
Who agreed to that?
Me, because it's the Edinburgh Derby, early kickoff.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll be in for that.
Exactly. So there we are. And I'm sure Super Scoreboard will be on Boxing Day as well. Obviously.
And producer anyway, John will be working that as well.
Are you working Boxing Day, John?
I'm a hell.
Yeah.
I'm the gaffer. Someone else is doing that shit.
And even better, the day after that, the Friday, the day after Boxing Day, it's Dunfermline versus Falkirk on the Friday night, John, at East End Park. 7:45 kickoff. Fancy a wee session, Dunfermline?
We've talked about this, haven't we? Exactly.
I can take you to all the pubs in Dunfermline.
Do you know what,
hopefully,
Stevie,
you don't get battered.
Do you know what? I'm up for it because we talked about this, and I'm slightly concerned. I won't wear colours, but I'm slightly concerned that people may recognise me and batter me anyway.
Well, I mean, hopefully. I'm not jumping in for you, John. So,
brilliant.
Like, that's,
okay.
I'll try and calm it down. I'll be like, no, listen, actually, he's all right for a Falkirk fan.
I would love to go along as well, and I'll just point you.
There's only so much I can do.
I would be going, John McAnally,
yeah,
Falkirk Daft podcast.
Falkirk Daft,
yeah. This is him. There he is. Tell him what you think.
No, you're not invited, Ewan.
And I think the thing is, it'll be a long day. It'll be a long day because
for you, aye.
Kickoff,
yeah. Are you going out all day?
Oh, aye.
Aye. And then to the game?
I mean, it's the only way to watch them, Fellman.
to be
so drunk that you can't remember what happened. So that's the plan on that Friday anyway. So anyway, let's get to some of your feedback from last week. Lots on cricket clubs. Chris McNulty. I've been to a couple of functions at the West of Scotland Cricket Club in Partick. Quite a run-of-the-mill function place. Now, I did get a couple of messages saying that there's a cricket club in Partick. Famous. Why, Ewan Cameron?
Is this because John McAnally, the producer, mentioned about a cricket club last week?
He did.
Is that why we're getting the feedback?
Yes, but why is the West of Scotland Cricket Club in Partick famous?
Is it something to do with Andy Gordon?
No.
No, because he played cricket.
He did.
Famously for Scotland.
Yeah, even more famous than that.
It's more famous than Andy Gordon playing for Scotland?
More famous than that.
Partick Thistle Cricket Club?
Nope, not Partick Thistle, Partick.
The Partick Cricket Club?
Partick Cricket Club.
Whereabouts is that?
In Partick.
Yeah, I know, but I'm trying to think where in Partick that would be. I've been in Partick loads. I can't remember seeing a cricket club. Near a stadium? Partick Thistle Stadium? Is it anywhere near that?
No, because Partick Thistle aren't in Partick.
Oh, yeah.
As you well know, Partick Thistle and Maryhill. Yeah.
Oh. What would be so famous about that cricket club?
It's arguably the scene of one of the most famous football matches of all time.
This explains why Ewan does so badly in the quiz, doesn't it?
It really does.
Partick Thistle Cricket Club?
It's not Partick Thistle. Partick is an area in Glasgow. Partick Thistle are a team in Glasgow, but Partick Thistle play in Maryhill, which is nowhere near Partick.
West of Scotland Cricket Ground.
Why are you speaking to me like that? Because I'm a fucking 12-year-old.
Because you keep saying Partick Thistle Cricket Ground and that's not the name of it. They're unrelated.
Right, okay, big deal. So I get it. I've got one word wrong. Whoop-de-buck-and-doo.
You got it wrong twice.
Right,
I'm just
up.
Making sure it's not a third
You're
time.
You're speaking like I'm a 12-year-old. I'm not 12.
So what is famous about Partick?
Was there something?
Cricket ground.
Did Celtic and Rangers play there?
No.
Am I close?
Well, they maybe did. But
am I close? Is it something to do with football?
I just said it was arguably one of the most important football matches of all time.
England, Scotland.
England or Scotland versus England in 1872. It was the scene as the it was officially recognised by FIFA as the first ever international match.
And it was at the Partick Thistle Cricket Ground? Cricket Ground!
It was at the Partick, West of Scotland Cricket Ground.
It's not called Partick? What's the name of it? I said Partick Cricket Ground and you went the West of Scotland Cricket Ground. What the fuck is it?
It's in Partick.
But what's it called?
The West of Scotland Cricket Ground.
Well, why are you talking about Partick?
Because it's in Partick.
Move on, because this is doing my nutting. I'm so confused right now.
Scotland versus England.
Was in Partick, but it's not in Partick because it's in the West of Scotland. What are you talking about?
It's called the West of Scotland Cricket Ground.
So it's got nothing to do with Partick?
And it's in Partick.
So it's in Partick, but nothing to do with Partick?
But nothing to do with Partick Thistle.
Yeah, that's my point. Okay, right, you've made your point.
So it was 1872, it was Scotland versus England. What was the score?
2-2.
No. Kyle Edmondson says, to be fair to producer John, even Paisley has a cricket club, and a night out there is brilliant.
Callum is that Lang, near St Mirren?
No idea, not getting into that. Callum Lang says, there's a cricket club in Linlithgow, also planning to have temporary stands and infrastructure in place in case we win the league. Is it not saying we are being presumptuous? Ever take a raincoat out when it's not raining? Why? In case it rains. Looking at what we might need next season as a sign of a well-run club. That sounds like presumption to me, Callum.
Aye.
Sounds like you are thinking that you've already got the league wrapped up there. So
yeah, one hand on the trophy by the sounds of things.
Yeah, no, not quite the same as taking a raincoat out if you're not sure whether it's going to rain or not. I think that's probably...
Getting ahead of yourself, mate.
Getting ahead of yourself. Yet again, another Falkirk fan.
Just like producer John.
Exactly, producer John, who's going about... What, you got the T-shirts printed, Champions?
Yeah,
They'll have that printed, I'm sure.
They're printing them now because they'll get a better deal now before it happens.
That's a good point, actually, yeah. Hey, Stephen Cliff said, I was shocked to find out Ewan didn't know there was a big cricket club 2 minutes from where he lives.
Is there?
Yeah.
What's it called?
I've got no idea. He's not said.
There's a golf club near me.
John says, if Stephen Ewan didn't know there's a cricket club in Scotland, then they need to do simple research as the very first Scotland-England. Now, to be fair, I didn't say that I didn't know there was a cricket club in Scotland, John. What I was saying was I wouldn't go there for a function and it wouldn't be a regular place to go for a function.
No.
I'm aware that cricket clubs exist in Scotland, as I just explained, but it's just that cricket people are...
Don't.
Wankers, basically. So there we are. What else have we got here? Craig says, got a quiz idea. We all know Ewan needs a little bit of help.
No, I don't.
You should introduce the opposite of top bins just for Ewan, called sweaty goal. He gets an easier two-pointer question. Absolutely not. Like, he's already... Like, Ewan has tried to change this quiz. And the whole time we've been doing this, Ewan has changed the quiz, the rules of the quiz, how we do the quiz, what is asked on the quiz, the topics for the quiz, everything, about a dozen times, and it still hasn't helped him. So, no, we're not changing the rules. They're set. We're both happy with it. It's fair. And if it isn't fair, I held my hands up a few weeks ago and scrubbed it from the record books. So I'm more than willing to be fair.
There were a lot of people that pointed out about the quiz last week, and I think they're right. They thought the top bin question about how many goals had been scored international level by, who was it, Julie Fleeton?
Yeah.
They thought that was ridiculous as a top bin question.
Oh,
because you could have went five either way, but to hit something like that on the head.
It's a top bin question.
That is more than a top bin question. That's like a 10-pointer top bin question.
You can't get more than a top bin question because it's a top bin question.
Something like that. How many goals did Julie Fleeting score for Scotland? Should have been five either way of the right answer.
I think that's incredibly sexist of you, Ewan, because I bet you if I ask you how many scores did Kenny Dalglish and Dennis Law get for Scotland, you could give me the answer.
I don't know.
Stephen, can you give me the answer?
It's 30.
Yes, it is.
Well, I would have gone 35.
Yeah. Well, you would have been wrong. Mike Harrison says, my wife worked at the A&E in Edinburgh Royal Infirmary for years. She told me some horror stories, but the one that stands out is a guy who came into A&E with a Hoover attached to his nether regions and doctors had to remove it. I don't understand how it would take that to remove it. Shouldn't you just take it out?
You'd unplug it.
Aye. Because then the suction would...
would disappear.
Aye.
Here's what I think has probably happened there. Now, this is not through any experiences that I've had.
Right.
Because I just think that's quite weird. But if you're going to use it, I would put it on blow and not suck. Just as a bit of advice. Don't, because what will happen is...
How do you put a Hoover on blow?
You can put it on blow. I've got a Hoover that blows. I have a hoover that blows.
What's her name?
It's a shark hoover.
It's a shark hoover, right. Okay. I wasn't aware you got hoovers that...
It does blow.
Why would you need a hoover to blow?
It blows. I don't know why it blows, but it blows.
Why would you need a hoover to blow? In what circumstance do you need to blow stuff away with a hoover? Surely the whole point in hoover is to suck it up and put it in the bag.
I think when you're hoovering around a crevice, when you're hoovering around a crevice and you can't quite get the hoover up to the crevice, it blows the stuff out.
That's why you get an attachment and you just sort of...
I'm pretty sure you can get blow on a hoover.
You don't get blow hoovers.
I think you get blow and suck.
For hoovers?
I'm pretty sure you can get a blow if you want.
Your hoover has a blow function.
I think it has a blow function. I'm pretty sure you can get blow and suck on a hoover nowadays.
At Big Football Scott, you can leave your comments on YouTube. If your hoover has a blow function, then Ewan wants to know. Ewan wants to know where he can get it and how quickly he can get it and if he can have yours.
I'm going to go home and see if my hoover can blow. I'm pretty sure it does. What I would say when it comes to that particular incident involving the hoover where they couldn't remove the hoover and had to go to the hospital is that when you use the hoover and when a man's blood rushes to where it rushes to and you use the hoover, it may enlarge where the blood has rushed to. It might swell up more and then we'll get stuck. And once it gets stuck and it's swelled that, you're going to cut the blood circulation, which means it won't deflate. And when it doesn't deflate, you ain't going to be able to remove it and you're going to be stuck in hardness for a long...
James Thompson says, you and mate, you're being stitched up on the quiz.
Exactly, that's the point I've just been making.
When John is sitting in his garden shed listening to Amarillo and repeat making up questions about the Highland League, he knows fine well you won't know the answer, but Stephen has probably read about it whilst he's sitting in the stand at East End Park these days. I actually don't get to East End Park on Saturdays because of work. But anyway, poor John. Poor from John, if you ask me, who cares about the Highland League? There's a reason it's not on the telly.
That's my point. Nobody cares.
Paul says, wouldn't it be 10-1 for 11 since 10 exists? Otherwise, going 1-1 logic, 22 would be 2-2. I had a lot of people get in touch about this.
Yes.
And so, I think it was
right.
It wasn't great logic from you.
So for those of you who missed it last week, I asked producer John and Stephen to read out numbers that I'd written down, and the numbers were 22, 33, 44. 22, 33, 44. 20. And I suggested, why is 11 not 181 then? If it's 22, 33, 44, why is 11 not 181? But you're right, I got so many people messaging me about this saying it should be 1081.
Yep.
But then what's 12? So it should
Following that logic, it would be 1082. It's not, so...
1083, 1084, 1085, 1086, 1087, 1089,
well, no,
and then
you've got
20.
Teams. And we explained why it went up.
So you'd only have 1081 and 1082, and then you go to 13.
Yeah.
So it'd be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1082, 1081, 12.
Or 1081. It would be 1081.
But if you're going to go 1081 and 1082, why can't you go...
I would go 1081 and not 1080. You're putting extra syllables in here. 1081, 1082.
But then why would you just go 1083? Because it's still the one there.
I didn't make up the names for numbers, Ewan.
No, but you're saying you could go 1081 and 10 or 1082 or 1021, but then you'd go to 13, 14, 15. But if you want a continuation...
No, but I've just explained. I explained last week why each individual number has their own individual name up to the value of 12. And then from then on...
Becomes 13, 14, 15.
It becomes a pattern.
So what works more for you, 181 or 1081?
It would have to be 1081.
1081, okay.
1081.
Thanks for your correspondence, and I thought it was really good.
Richard Hamilton says, no pictures this week, lads. Can only assume finding a new footballer and turning a camera on is too much work in a week for producer John. Wouldn't be like Falkirk not to finish the job. So we'll see what happens over the next wee while. Keep your comments coming in on YouTube, obviously. You can leave all your feedback there, good or bad or indifferent, or if you just want to say something. Right, okay, last week, not bad for Scottish teams in Europe. Obviously, Celtic, a really good win against RB Leipzig. Played really well. Rangers 1-1 against Olympiacos, so they've taken that before kickoff as well. So again, they played pretty well, Rangers. And then Hearts letting the side down, getting beat by Heidi High, or it was Julie Andrews and all the rest of it.
Heidi High?
Aye, something like that. Some team I've never heard of for Germany. Ray McKinnon is gone at Forfar. He was in charge of Forfar for 730 days.
How many years is that?
And was the 12th longest serving manager in the SPFL. Not even 2 years. He got sacked at the weekend.
Was Ray McKinnon not at Dundee United at one point in his life?
Yeah.
Aye. Where was it else? Was he not your place?
No. He was in... How did he get on at Falkirk, John?
Oh,
he
was at Falkirk
How did he get on there, Ray McKinnon?
Terrible.
And it's funny that, because did you not make a big sort of song and dance about sort of like taking him from Morton?
No. Morton's supporters made a big song and dance about that. Oh, and he was front of the Telegraph and they called him a snake and all that stuff.
Yeah, but you took him from Morton and paid money for him and all the rest.
And celebrated it and everything.
I'm sure you were lording it up over...
Where did the film on the table just now?
No, we're talking about Ray McKinnon at the moment. Okay, and then how did he get on? Did he even last the season? Or did he take you down? Or was it him that got you relegated?
No, it was Paul Hartley.
Was it Paul Hartley?
But he played his part.
Well,
Ray McKinnon.
His part. Ray McKinnon, yeah. Aye.
Yeah,
Ray McKinnon played his part.
Dark times, don't like
glory times, I would say. The 8th manager to leave his post this season. Who are the other 7? You and Cameron, on you go.
Say again?
Ray McKinnon's the 8th manager to leave in the SPFL this season, leave his post. Who are the other 7? I'm joking, we're not getting into that. Right, okay. Interesting graphic that was put up at the weekend. The percentage of minutes given to Scottish under-21s in the top flight so far this season. Aberdeen, how many Scottish under-21s have played percentage of minutes this season?
Most of them will be under 5%, I'm guessing.
None. How many?
Talking about them all.
No, I'm going to go through them.
Are you going through them all?
Aberdeen, 0%. Celtic,
2%.
0%.
Oh, God.
Dundee.
Uh-huh.
1%.
Oh, hello.
Hearts and Hibs.
2, 3, 4.
2%. Dundee United.
5.
3%. St Mirren.
4.
1%. St Johnston.
6.
3%. Rangers.
Barron. McCausland. 2%.
0%.
Barron and that were not...
They're not under 21.
Is he not? He's 22, isn't he?
Ross County.
You think they'll be playing a few young boys? 4%.
4% is the right answer. Kilmarnock.
Thinking of the game yesterday.
1. 7%.
Oh, well done, Kelly.
And Motherwell.
Oh, they'll be higher. They'll be the highest, will they not? 10.
18%.
18. Well done, Motherwell.
So that's fairly depressing, I would say.
And
you know what? This all comes back to so many chats that we've had on this podcast before about how teams are either so desperate to stay in the league that they won't risk playing younger players.
Correct.
And that's because there's only 12 teams in the league.
Correct.
And if we had a bigger league, yes, there would be more meaningless matches, but they wouldn't be meaningless because you could play young players in them and get them a decent run out at a decent level and then see what they're all about.
And if they come good, you sell them for a great amount of money.
Yeah.
And then you can reinvest that in the club where you can then start challenging for those places in Europe or to avoid relegation, etc.
Celtic and Rangers, despite the fact Celtic are so far ahead of everyone else, I know they're not at the moment because Aberdeen are obviously on a really good run, but Celtic are going to win the league. Celtic financially are so far ahead of everyone else that I think for them not to have played a Scottish under-21 at all this season is shocking.
Mm-hmm.
You're not telling me there's home matches where Celtic could give somebody a run out for 20 minutes.
Cup games.
This is just league stats, but...
All right.
You know.
I agree with you.
And Rangers are so obsessed with trying to catch Celtic and obviously are under so much pressure not to lose. Mm-hmm. Clement and all the rest of it. So, I get the pressures, but if you're a young player, why are you signing for Celtic or Rangers?
Which is why you're seeing a lot of young players not making the move to Rangers or Celtic and have made the move to Syria or Germany. I think this is the first time we've agreed on anything. You're bang on. if the league was extended to an 18-team top division, you'd see a lot more younger players getting an opportunity in Scottish clubs. But as it stands right now, the fear of dropping out of the Premier League and losing that money is the problem, because they're scared to give the young team a chance.
There's Motherwell with 18%, which is still not great, but it's still good, right? I think that's all right.
Yeah.
You know, that means that, you know...
That's good.
It's 1 in 5, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's all right, I think. And Motherwell are doing all right.
Yeah.
And Motherwell are going to sell Lennon Miller on for millions of pounds. They've sold David Turnbull.
Yeah, they will.
They've sold various other players for lots and lots of money. I just find it really...
It's depressing.
I think Celtic and Rangers will already have the pick of the bunch when it comes to, you know, young players in Scotland, mostly pick of the bunch. I know what you said about players going down south is a thing now, but they don't get a chance. No.
Ben Doak made the move from Celtic to Liverpool. And the reason that Ben Doak made the move is because he probably thought, I'm not getting a chance here. He went to Liverpool and Jurgen Klopp used him sparingly in the cup games, brought him into the first team. He started playing in the Champions League and in the Premiership. And then they've put him out on loan at Middlesbrough, and he's running riot with Middlesbrough. I mean, he's been outstanding. I sent you some clips of him setting up a goal. I think it was against Norwich. The boy's on fire, and he's playing first team football for Middlesbrough in the Championship. He wouldn't have got that chance at Celtic. He may have.
But, I doubt it.
But at the time, he wasn't getting that opportunity, but he may have got it. Who knows? But I think...
I just think Celtic in particular are so far ahead of everyone else, pretty much. If they're playing a St Johnstone at home, that they'll win anyway. Right? Yeah. Let's be honest. They'll win anyway. So why are they not using games like that to play young players?
Was there not a cup game a couple of years ago? Was it they played Morton and they put their best 11 out? Was it not Morton? They beat like 5-2, but they put their best 11 out. And everyone was saying at the time, why are you not giving a couple of young players a chance? Bleed them, like blood them, bleed them in.
I just think it's a really odd way to run things.
I agree.
And, you know, and by the way, Aberdeen, shocking as well. Like, that's really bad.
I'm surprised that Aberdeen...
Again, Aberdeen have the pick of everyone in the Northeast.
I'm surprised at that.
So
What's the percentage for Aberdeen?
0.
That's shocking, actually.
There's only 3 teams with 0, and it's Celtic, Rangers and Aberdeen.
Shame on them all.
So there we are.
Depressing.
Right, let's get on to the actual football at the weekend. I feel like we've been speaking for about...
Can we go straight to the Hearts game? I just want to get it out of the way. Can we just go in reverse?
No. Well,
can we go in reverse?
No, we can't.
Let's just go with the Sunday games first, then at the Saturday.
No.
I just want to get it out of the way, Stephen.
No, it's fine. We'll save it for last.
I don't want to save it for last. I just want to get it out of the way, please.
No, that's fine. Dundee United, 3-0 winners against Ross County on Saturday. So, cracking win for Dundee United. Jim Goodwin signed a new contract as well. I thought Dundee United were going to struggle this season. I thought they were poor in the Championship under Goodwin last season, but he's completely proved me wrong. And they're having an absolutely great season up until Rangers played last night. They were level on points with Rangers as well, which nobody would have predicted, I think, at the start of the season. And they're looking, you know, an accomplished Premiership side already.
They're top six. They're nailed on for a top six position. They've got goals in their team. They're pretty solid. They don't concede goals. I'm delighted for Jim Goodwin because, let's be honest, on this podcast, we properly rinsed the boy. I mean, we properly went after him when he was at Aberdeen. And he's come back and he's proved a lot of people wrong. And nobody gave Dundee United much of a chance this season because, as you say, they limped over the line in the Championship last campaign. So to come into the Premiership and do the job that he has done, he deserves his new contract, and I applaud him, and I'm glad he's gone out there and proved so many people wrong. It would appear as though he's a half-decent manager, and he's got a tune out of that Dundee United side, and his signings have been spot on. They've been integrated into the team that came up from the Championship, and it looks like they've been together forever. So well done to Dundee United. I'm delighted for them. I was desperate for them to be back in the top flight so we could have the Dundee Derby back. And it's a great support. It's a great stadium. So yeah, I'm delighted.
Ross County, 23 league games without a win away from home. So
How many?
23. So I think that's clear where their problems lie. They're obviously strong at home. Mm-hmm. They play Motherwell after the international break. So, Ross County will just be sort of skittering about, I'd imagine.
See, if they don't start improving on their away form, I don't think their home form will keep them up this year.
Yeah, I mean, well, obviously, I think they're going to
struggle.
Elsewhere, Hibs Hibs. We're going to be joined by a Hibs fan later on in the podcast, so we'll not speak too much about Hibs at the moment because we can do that later. But cracking result for St Mirren. McMenamin with both the goals. St Mirren have now won all of their last three league games away to Hibs and have scored 15 goals in their last six meetings against Hibs. So they've absolutely got their number. Cracking win for St Mirren, particularly, I think, first half they were really well. Hibs are now seven without a win, in real trouble. But we'll save that because we're going to speak about it later on. And Motherwell beating St Johnstone by 2-1, second successive league win for Motherwell. And it keeps them level on points with Dundee United and obviously level on points at Rangers before last night as well.
I love what Kettlewell's doing. I haven't said, what a job he's done at Motherwell. They lost their top goal scorer in Theo Bear.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost Blair Spittle.
Mm-hmm.
And look at what he's achieved. The boy needs a medal. He needs knighted. He needs to be given the freedom of Motherwell. I think he's done outstanding.
Well, he's not done anything yet, but it's been a good start to the season.
But my point is, the boy's done an outstanding job.
Of course he
job.
Has, yeah, he's done a really good job.
Theo Blair and Blair Spittle gone. I think what he has done there is remarkable. Fair play to him. And up until the game at Ibrox yesterday, he was level on points with Rangers. If I'd said to you at the start of the season, not after totally. 10, 11 games, that they would be level on points with Rangers, you'd have laughed at me. And there they
are. I laugh at you quite a lot. If you'd said that, I would have laughed at you as well.
Yeah, and they're level on points with Dundee United. They're 3 points behind Rangers. Brilliant. Well done, Motherwell.
St Johnstone, they did have the ball in the back of the net. We'll get to that in VRWTF a wee bit later on.
For an equaliser.
Do you think? I think St Johnstone are going to be okay. They seem to. They're a wee bit leaky.
For me, it's Ross County and Hibs just now. On current form, I think it's Ross County and Hibs that are in trouble.
There's a big game at Pittodrie on Saturday night, 5:30 kickoff, and we were all sort of speculating how Aberdeen were going to respond after getting absolutely battered by Celtic at Hampden the previous week. They responded in fine style, although the first half was not very good. It wasn't a great game. Dundee obviously well on top in that first half, but the second half, Aberdeen absolutely blew them away, and yet another win for Aberdeen. I mean, it's mental to think that Aberdeen have 31 points out of a possible 33 points so far this season.
It's you crazy.
Know, we're now at the final international break and they're still joint top.
Aye. I think the result would have been different if Mitov doesn't make the penalty save in the first half.
Of course, yeah, absolutely.
Honestly, Dundee were on top and they were really good. And I think if they scored that goal and they go into half-time 1-0, and I know that Aberdeen always comes strong in the second half and substitutes always have a big impact on the game, like they did on Saturday. They did have a big impact on the game. But if they're 1-0 down, I think it's a different result. I really do. But fair play to Aberdeen. And Mitov, for me, has been the sign of the season. He's been outstanding for them. They deserved their win, ultimately. They battered them in the second half. And
they're looking really strong.
And that's on the bench as well. They always have an impact on from the bench.
Nisbet
scored again.
Yeah. Set up one of the goals as well.
They're not going anywhere soon. The proof in the pudding. See if they're still there within touching distance of Celtic, whether it be level or a couple of points behind after Christmas, New Year, and we get to January transfer window and they're still within touching distance. Aberdeen need to really go for it. They need to go into that transfer market.
If they're still kicking about, I think probably their bigger concern is somebody coming in for Jimmy Tilleen.
Well, the chat was, if Gary O'Neill didn't beat Southampton in the Premiership at the weekend, he was out on his ear. And the talk was that Wolves have got Jimmy Tilleen on their shortlist. So Gary O'Neill
It wouldn't surprise me.
Gary O'Neill did win. They beat Southampton by 2-0. So he keeps his job at Wolves. But whenever a job like a Wolves comes up, you can bet your bottom dollar Jimmy Tilleen's name will be in the frame.
Only one side this century, with the current points total after this many games that Aberdeen have got, have not gone on to win the title. I mean, I think I'm still confident to predict that Aberdeen will not win the title.
They won't.
But, I mean, that is some stat. Like, I mean, as I say, 31 points out of 33 is ludicrous. It's ludicrous. Particularly, let's not remember, Aberdeen were pish last year.
I love it. I was getting a bit of stick last week because I was putting out a message about how great Aberdeen are and how I hope they continue the challenge. I hope they can stay up there fighting for the league title. I also got a bit of stick for saying I think Aberdeen are nailed on for at least second place after their win over Rangers and going 9 clear of them. I'm still of that opinion that Rangers will struggle to catch Aberdeen. And I want Aberdeen to maintain this. And I think all of Scottish football out with the Old Firm should be back in Aberdeen to keep this challenge up. I love it for the game, for the Premiership, for Scottish football to have another team up there disrupting the status quo, I think is phenomenal. Now, and we all should back them.
Aberdeen have a fairly difficult stretch of matches.
They do.
They're away to St Mirren after the international break. Then in the midweek, they're away at Easter Road, so easy 3 points. And then they're also at Tynecastle to take on Hearts. So fair enough, easy 3 points there. Then they're at home to Celtic on December the 4th. So the next four matches, I know we keep saying, you know, how they're going to do. Yeah. And they keep coming up with the answers so far.
Yeah, they do. So go through those four fixtures again.
St Mirren away.
Yeah.
Hibs away.
Mm-hmm.
Hearts away.
Celtic at home. If they come away with 9 points out of that four, are you thinking they're in for the league title? Are they there for the league title?
It depends where they get. If they beat Celtic at Pittodrie,
is one of those 3 points.
Yeah,
you would.
Yeah,
I think they're going to do well to get 3 points against Hearts. Hearts are a really good side just now. We're playing really well. Mm. They'll do well to get 3 points there, and if they do, poof, and then you go and beat Celtic the following week. Poof, then you've got to say they are very much in the title race.
Celtic winning yesterday against Kilmarnock. 10 goals and 10 assists from Nicholas Coon so far this season. He has been absolutely outstanding. I mean, Celtic not at their best, let's be honest.
Kilmarnock were unlucky.
I thought Kilmarnock played really well.
They were really good.
Particularly first half, obviously had a couple of great chances. Second half, they had a couple of good chances as well. But Celtic got the job done.
Can I caveat that? I'd like to caveat that. Yes, Kilmarnock were outstanding, and I thought they deserved something from the game. But I think, and let's be honest about it, the reason is because of that pitch.
I think you're being a bit unfair.
I'm not.
No. I'm not saying it's not a factor.
It's a huge factor.
I'm not saying it's not.
No, mate, it's huge.
But Kilmarnock...
They get such an advantage from that pitch. It is scary. It was like watching...
I think you're being unfair. I think you're being unfair to Derek McInnes and the players. I really think you are.
Do you remember when you were a wee boy and you'd be in the playground with your pals, and what was really popular when I was a wee boy at primary school was a bouncy ball, and you just drop the bouncy ball from just waist height and it would bounce higher than your head? Watching that game yesterday, it was like they were playing with a bouncy ball. It was bouncing all over the place. It was back to front.
Right, fine.
It's a game. It's that type of football is going to kill football, and it's because of the pitch.
Right,
because the pitch and the surface was so bad, even Celtic were going long. They were misplacing passes here, there, and everywhere. Kilmarnock couldn't control the ball. It was going here, there, and bouncing here. It was a physical game. It was an up and atom game. Fair enough. Kilmarnock are playing their strengths.
I think you're being unfair.
I think the pitch plays a huge part in the game. I really do.
Right, I'll give you a real life example. Okay, so you may remember, well, probably 20 years ago now, Dunfermline ripped up their grass pitch and put a plastic pitch down. Right, so that was under Jimmy Calderwood. Okay,
was it?
Oh yeah, I'm telling you, it was. So
when was he there?
From like 2004. Well, I know it was, because if you let me finish, I'll explain why. Because that season, Dunfermline got to the Scottish Cup final and finished fourth in the league, okay. Right? In the top flight, in the SPL as it was then.
Was that when you lost to Celtic 1-0?
No, that was different. That was it was Henrik Larsson's final match. It was 3-1 in the cup final. But everyone was saying, oh, it's just to do with the plastic pitch. Dunfermline's, our home form was unbelievable. Like, I think we beat Rangers that season as well. You know, we're really, really difficult to beat. And everyone's like, oh, the plastic pitch is such a big advantage, blah, 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 blah. We finished fourth, got to a cup final. We had some great players. We obviously had Jimmy Calderwood and Jimmy Nicol in charge, you know, playing great football. We were going to, you know, we won at Easter Road and all that. Like, we were going and winning lots of places. So we had a really good team. The following season, Jimmy Calderwood left, went to Aberdeen. Davy Hay came in. We still had the plastic pitch. And we only stayed up on the last day of the season. So my point is, yes, the plastic pitch is a factor, but you still need to have a good manager and good players to play on that pitch, as exampled with Dunfermline, because, you know, all we did was change the manager. And yeah, there was a few players missing as well. But we went from fourth in a Scottish Cup final to nearly getting relegated with a plastic pitch. So it doesn't make that much of a difference, is what I'm saying. It's all about the team and the players and the manager.
Well, I heard what you said there and will agree to disagree. Having said that, though, Kilmarnock deserved something from the game yesterday, but I think the pitch played a huge factor in that.
Rangers versus Hearts last night. It was the final game of the weekend, and it finished Rangers 1, Hearts 0. Dessers getting his 10th goal of the season. He's third in three games. How many games has it been since Hearts beat Rangers, Ewan? I mean, it seems to me whenever Rangers are struggling, they play Hearts and then they just win. So that's generally what happens. Do you know how many games it is?
I don't.
17.
Since we beat them?
Yes. In the 17 league. Matches.
Seven. Is it?
Yeah.
That many?
And you sit there and you slag off Aberdeen for only turning up against Rangers and lying down to Celtic and all this stuff. Hearts' record against Rangers is pathetic. Pathetic. Now, Hearts should have got something from the game last night.
We deserve something from the game last night, because I'll be honest with you, every time we've played Rangers in recent years, we've gone to Ibrox, we've had our pants pulled down, and we've been spanked. And not spanked with your hand, no. They were getting the paddles out, and they were spanking us with a paddle, and we didn't have a chance. I mean, not only were we being spanked by a paddle when we went to Ibrox, they were putting a gimp mask on us, and we were sucking on a ball while we were getting spanked.
I mean, it's still continuing. 17 games. That's really pathetic.
That's how bad we were when we go to Ibrox. We were getting spanked left, right and centre, and we're never in the game. And despite losing by a goal to nil, I came away from that game happy. I know that sounds weird.
Because Rangers won.
No, no. I was happy because... And I was happy what Critchley said afterwards, our new head coach. We gave Rangers a scare last night. We were in their faces. We created chances. Yes, Butland hasn't really had a save to make. If Vargas, here's what I'm going to say. If Vargas scores that chance at the start of the second half when he's through on goal, and if that shot doesn't hit the post and it hits the back of the net, Rangers didn't beat us last night. They were never going to beat us. That was not going to happen. So they got their win. But they were in a game, and that's the best that Hearts have played at Ibrox for a long, long time. The last time when we played them and we lost by two goals to them with two late injury time goals, we were battered that day as well. I think Rangers had like 30-odd shots on goal, and the goalkeeper was outstanding. We didn't create any chances. We just sat in our box and tried to defend. This time, we took the game to Rangers. That, for me, is a massive positive, and the impact that Critchley has had. Yes, we lost the game. Yes, we lost in Europe last week as well. But what I saw in the game against the Germans and what I saw against Rangers, I am so optimistic about our future with Critchley in charge. I thought we were superb. The only thing that we're missing just now is hitting the back of the net regularly with the chances that we're creating, and we're lacking a bit of pace. And I think that Critchley will amend that and change that in the January transfer window.
Next four matches for Hearts: Celtic at home. So you're trying that one.
Is that after the international break? Is it straight after the international break?
Yep.
Is that not like the Saturday night?
It's a Saturday night, quarter to eight kickoff.
Well, that'll be good.
Then it's Bruges away in the Europa Conference League. Then it's Aberdeen at Tynecastle. Then it's Dundee at Tynecastle.
Have we got three games back to back? At home?
At home, yeah.
What a chance for us. That'll be a great game, that Celtic at Tynecastle on a Saturday night.
As for Rangers, you know, again, got the win, which is the most important thing, 3 points, but still not an impressive performance again.
Nah.
And the Conor Barron getting taken off.
The fans booze ringing out because he got taken off.
Philly Clement said the fans don't know everything.
It's because the science guy leaned over his shoulder and went, do I take him off? He's played 90 minutes on Thursday and he's played 60 now, get him off. The boy didn't even want to come off. Surely the player knows if he's had enough and he's knackered.
Do you not have to look after your players though, especially if he's, I mean, Conor Barron's an important player for Rangers now.
Yeah, but they're going to the national break. You won that win.
Where he's going away with Scotland.
But he's not going to play for Scotland. See, when you've got the game before the international break and you're only 1-0 up and Hearts are piling on the pressure and they're taking control of the game and you take off one of your best players, I know why the Rangers fans are booing him. That was a mistake.
James Tavernier started the game, got taken off again.
Got taken off. Yeah, I was surprised he started because I thought Dujon Sterling was excellent against Olympiacos. Rangers are not going to win the league. They're not going to challenge for the league. We all know that. Their goal is to catch Aberdeen, and I don't think they will.
Okay. Right, let's move on and chat about some refereeing decisions in just a wee second, because unfortunately we need to speak about the championship first, unfortunately. So,
Dunfermline.
Yeah.
What happened?
Shouldn't have lost. Should not have lost.
Is that what
Queen's
you've
Park.
Been hearing? Oh, here we go.
You did barricade the door! Do you know what, Ewan?
What, mate?
Falkirk only lost one game in 51.
Is it that many?
How many have Dunfermline lost in that time? Dunfermline!
Is it only
one again in the weekend? Fortunate Falkirk! Beat the Airdrie! Up use the Diamonds! Quite Bank FC! Away yous go, down the road! Falkirk top of the league! 6 points top of the league! Come on! Yes! Where my babies at? This is the way to
Amarillo! It's a nice wee song, that. I mean, it just put a smile on your face.
That's an unbelievable stat. If that's true, that's remarkable.
But fucking plumbers last season, Ewan.
One loss in 51 games. That's like Man City-esque.
Oh, not really. I mean, not Man City.
Not recent, no. But 51 games and one defeat. Yeah, is that true, John?
They were playing Sunday league teams in League One last season.
I know they were playing the Joiners and the Farmers.
Playing pub teams.
The fact is true, and we have not been beaten at home in 500, well, in the league, in 574 days now.
Great. I mean, you've got to give them some credit, man.
So not only...
Stephen, give them some credit.
I mean, not a great performance.
Go on, Stephen, give us some credit. Go on, talk dirty to me. Go on.
So, not only are you playing the bottom of the table on Saturday, who are having an absolute nightmare, all sorts...
You should be thanking Falkirk. We did you a favour, Stephen. So, we kept Deirdre down there for you. If they'd imagine if they'd beaten us, you'd be closer to the bottom.
Not only do you get the good fortune of playing them when there's all sorts of stuff happening behind the scenes, you're also getting the good fortune of playing them when they've got an unprecedented injury crisis as well.
10
players out at the moment, Airdrie. And obviously that's when Falkirk play them, because that's when you get your good fortune. But listen...
It's okay, you're playing them on Saturday, so I mean, sure, you'll obviously run all over them on Saturday. So I mean, that'll be fine.
Stephen, this is a big Scottish football podcast.
Yeah.
And I've sat here and I've praised Aberdeen, and I want Aberdeen to do well. Yeah. I really do. I want them to keep this challenge up with Celtic. I would want Aberdeen to win the league. Right. I'm being honest. I want Aberdeen to win the league.
Yeah.
I don't see it happening, but I'd love it for the game. I'm also very, of Dundee United. And what's the word I'm looking for? I'm looking for a
magnanimous.
Nice word. Magnanimous. Yes, that's a good word. I also praise Dundee United and Jim Goodwin, because I can.
So have I.
I can take my heart's cap off and I can look at the other teams and other managers and I can give praise when they deserve the
praise. I've given praise to Aberdeen and Dundee United as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I've praised St Mirren in the past, Stephen Robinson, all of them. Praised Rangers, Celtic in Europe. I want them to win in Europe. I want them to do well in Europe. Okay. I want them to get out the group stages.
Right,
I want them to do...
Right, I get your point. Right. Get to the point.
I've also been very critical of teams when they deserve it. But when it comes to Falkirk and what they've achieved in such a short period of time, they are literally a League One side who are in the championship and are 6 points clear.
Remind me, what have they achieved? You're beginning to sound a bit like John here.
What have Falkirk achieved?
Because I think last time I checked, it's November,
Stephen,
and I don't think teams win leagues in November.
Stephen, I'm not suggesting for a second they've won the league. I'm not saying
no. I know you're not being like John and suggesting that it's wrapped up already.
So I am not suggesting that.
But what I will say is, it's now a two-horse race. It's between Livingston and Falkirk. Air out of it. For me, Air out of it. They're too inconsistent. They're out of it. It's a two-horse race. So either Livingston or Falkirk are going to win the championship. And I think that you, as a big Scottish football podcast pundit, presenter, should be giving Falkirk praise.
No.
Do it.
What they've achieved is amazing.
They haven't achieved anything.
Is an achievement.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. To come into the championship.
The amount of good luck that Falkirk have had this season.
Stephen, to take the league by storm the way that they have.
Taken the league by storm.
But you've just praised Aberdeen for doing what they've done. Why can't you praise Falkirk in the same way?
Because I didn't say it's amazing what Aberdeen have achieved, because Aberdeen have achieved nothing so far. I'm saying it's an amazing start to the season. They've got 31 points.
And it's impressive.
Yeah, of course it's impressive.
So is Falkirk impressive?
No, because they've had so much good fortune. They've had so much good
fortune. Aberdeen's impressive, not only, but Falkirk is not impressive.
Well, no, because obviously I've got a horse in this race. So,
no, you don't.
Yes,
you can't be spoken about in the same breath as Falkirk because you're fucking miles behind.
This is true.
You can't say you've got a horse in the race.
So I'm allowed to comment on Aberdeen and Dundee United and all the rest of it, even though they are obviously miles ahead of Dunfermline. So I'm okay for commenting on that, but I'm not allowed.
Yeah, but you're praising them.
So? I can say whatever I want. Why do I have to say...
Why do you not want to praise Falkirk?
I'm explaining why Falkirk are top of the table, and it's because they've been really, really, really lucky so far this season. Not only have they had luck in terms of the actual games, decisions, things falling for them, hitting off the post, hitting off players and going in, stuff like that.
That's not, football,
not,
Stephen.
Not only have they had that, everything falling for them. Dodgy penalties, the law.
Does it? No.
Right. Not only have they had that, they're also taking on teams that are in, you know, crisis mode, like Airdrie at the moment.
And Dunfermline.
And Dunfermline. Thank you very much, John.
There you go.
Who are in crisis mode, who are going through boardroom turmoil, who have got massive injury lists, who have got players suspended. Everything's just fallen for Falkirk just now. So listen, John, I totally understand.
We had five first-team players out.
I totally understand why you think that you've won the league already.
I am not saying that.
All I'm saying is it's November, there's a long way to go. It's not about how you start, it's about how you finish. So Falkirk winning 2-0 against Airdrie on Saturday. Fortunate to do so, from what I've heard. It was 1-1 between Morton and Ayr on Friday night. Livingston getting back to winning ways, beating Hamilton by 3-1 on Saturday.
That was a big win for them. They needed that.
It really was. They did need that, because it would be a wee... It was a wee sticky bit. They drew and they lost.
Aye.
Back to winning ways. And then Partick Thistle won at Raith Rovers, 1 at Firhill on Saturday, so kind of keeps it... I mean, there's not a lot between... I keep saying this, there's not a lot between the teams in terms of quality, I don't think. Queen's Park beating Dunfermline on Saturday. First half, apparently, one of the most awful performances under James McPake, which is quite the accolade. Second half, battered Queen's Park. Queen's Park scored with their only shot on goal.
Fortunate.
Very fortunate, and Dunfermline continue to be unfortunate.
So when you got 2-1-1, you were on the up, you were the better team.
Go and watch the highlights. I mean, the Queen's Park keeper makes two outrageous saves. We probably should have had a penalty. Maybe, you know, if we were playing in blue and called Falkirk, we probably would have got that. how we lost the match, I'm not entirely sure. But, you know, I was talking to my mates about it and they were kind of like, yeah, there's no way we should have lost the match. We didn't deserve to lose the match to Queen's Park. Fans after it were like, you know, we've got away with one there. But it's getting to the stage with the Dunfermline support kind of fed up with hard luck stories, to be honest. And things really need to start moving in the right direction. You know, we're still in touch with the sort of few teams above us. It's only 6 points, the gap between Hamilton and Dunfermline. Hamilton in sixth and Dunfermline in ninth.
Go and tell me how far away from Falkirk you are, Stephen. I've not got a table in front of me.
So wait a minute, have I to compare ourselves to Falkirk and speak about us at level? Or
I'm allowed to do that? I just want to know.
No, it's just that you and Ewan said that, I mean, I shouldn't be talking about Dunfermline and Falkirk in the same
time. Do you want a mad stat, though, ahead of the weekend?
Right, okay.
This is the first time this...
He told me this earlier. This is a brilliant stat. Go on, John.
Right, so this weekend...
For the first time ever?
I think this has to be the first time it's ever happened. First play second, third play fourth, fifth play sixth, seventh play eighth, and ninth play tenth this weekend.
Oh, that's good. That's good in the championship. Yeah, that is very good.
But would that have happened in any other league ever? How that's worked out is amazing.
That would be very difficult to work out, I would imagine.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is great. That is really
That's
good.
A brilliant stat.
So Falkirk are at Amon Vale on sort of whatever it's fucking called now.
Yes, the home of the Set Fair Arena.
Right, okay.
What's it called?
Home of the Set Fair Arena.
Yeah.
Home of the what?
Set Fair Arena.
What's Set Fair?
The taxi company.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll move on. League One. The craziest league in world football is currently League One. And they're at it again. So only 4 points separating the top 7 teams in League One.
Crazy.
1-1 between Annan and Steny. Inverness back into positive points. They've got 1 point because they beat Cove Rangers 2-1 on Saturday, and that brings an end Cove Rangers' recent good run. Kelty Hearts back to winning ways, beating Dumbarton by 2-0. 1-1 in the Angus Derby between Montrose and Arbroath, and it was also 1-1 between Queen of the South and Alloa. So this is how it looks. Alloa are on 21 points. Cove are on 20 points. Kelty and Arbroath are on 19 points. Steny and Queen of the South are on 18 points, and Montrose are on 17 points.
So how far Inverness away from safety?
Inverness are now 11 points away from the relegation playoff spot, 13 away from safety.
Okay.
I mean, it's doable.
Oh, it's definitely doable.
Absolutely doable. And they have kept, you know, some of their good players.
Yeah.
So I think it is doable.
And everybody's beating each other in that league, so you never know.
It's ludicrous. What a ludicrous division that is. I mean, you've got a situation where, you know, Queen of the South, who are in sixth, if they get a big win on Saturday and Alloa lose, then they'll go top of the table from sixth. So, I mean, it's just,
nuts.
Right, League Two, here's what happened. Lots of shocks. East Fife losing, who were top of the table before Saturday, got beat at home by Stranraer by 2-1, and that meant Peterhead went top of the table because they beat Stirling 3-2 at Forth Bank. Bonnyrigg beating Elgin 2-0. Elsewhere, Edinburgh City winning against Clyde, and as we heard earlier on in the show, Ray McKinnon losing his job after a 3-0 loss at home to Spartans, and that means Forfar are bottom of the table alongside Clyde. Clyde with our new manager Darren Young as well. So that is you right up to date with everything that's happening over the weekend. Let's chat about some refereeing decisions, shall we?
La gente está muy loca. What the fuck?
I had a banana this morning, right? And you know when they're not quite ripe yet, still a wee bit green.
Right? But you don't eat it.
No, but
when you get a banana that's not quite ripe yet, it can upset your stomach.
Well, I've got that sort of
potassium taste.
Yeah, sort of funny taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
And it's from the banana, because it wasn't ripe. Anyway, VAR, not much happening. Dundee United, Ross County, lots happening in Hibs versus St Mirren. So it was Ian Sneddon who was the man in charge. So, I mean, to be honest, I think they pretty much got everything.
They nailed
right.
it. They nailed it all. So there's nothing controversial.
O'Hara foul on Boyle for the penalty. Missed it, obviously given by VAR.
Penalty.
The Gogic handball was a penalty.
Yeah.
And then Dwight Gale was offside for Nicky Cadden's goal. Yeah. The disallowed goal at the end, so
Dwight Gale, what is he doing?
I know, spoonhead. Motherwell 2, St Johnstone 1, Ross Hardy was in charge. Andy Halliday penalty given away for the handball. What do you think? So St Johnstone's penalty that they got there.
Yes. Yeah.
And then obviously
happy with that.
St Johnstone Luke thought they'd equalised. And it was a handball by Sanders.
Which he
didn't really complain about.
He didn't complain about
it. I thought it's one of those ones where you're like, but it's harsh.
The rule is, and again, because I am the IFAB expert, and IFAB is about the internet.
IFAB.
What does that stand for again? International FIFA something. Go and check that for me, producer.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. But I've read all the IFAB rules when it comes to handballs. If there is a handball, whether intentional or not, and it leads to a goal, it will be disallowed every single time. He had no idea because the cross comes, it bounces off his hand.
Did they not change that rule?
No. If a handball leads to a goal, no goal.
Aberdeen, Dundee, there was a penalty for Dundee, which was obviously saved. Simon Murray brought down by Malloy. Penalty.
Yeah.
Right, Kilmarnock, Celtic. You've got a thought on Adam Ida, which we'll get to in just a wee second, but first of all, the Hitati challenge on Liam Donnelly, it was checked for a possible red, but they stuck with a yellow. I don't understand why.
It's red.
It's a red card.
It's a red card.
Like, I don't really...
Red card.
I don't know how they have come to the conclusion it wasn't a red card, to be
I mean,
honest,
he looked at all the different angles, and every angle made it worse than the first angle.
High.
Yeah, it was knee high.
And again, like, it's one of these ones that...
There wasn't any force in it.
Hitati hasn't gone out to do them,
no.
But... It's a for what we've seen so far this season, that is a red card.
It's a red card.
An absolute stick on red card. They got that one wrong. You think Adam Ida should also saw red as well?
No, not Ida, the boy that elbowed Ida.
Oh, the boy, yes.
The boy that, I can't remember who that was John.
Was it Joe Wright? Yeah, I mean.
I think it was Joe Wright. He's been sent off a few times this season.
He likes a red card.
I understand what Chris Sutton was getting at. When he says you need to use your arms for leverage to get up there to win the header. Only Joe Wright knows whether there was intent there or not to leave a wee mark or to show that he's there and a bit of physicality and all that. For me, though, I didn't think it was a red card on first viewing. Second and third viewing, VAR should have sent the referee to the monitor and he should have been given a red card. For me, that was a red card. I think it was a straight red. It was a clear red. And I think that Kilmarnock's Joe Wright was a very, very lucky boy.
Rangers Hearts, there was the handball right at the end.
And Kieran Dowell. Nah.
It was outside the box, I think, for a start.
So the referee blew for the full time, so it was done.
Okay, okay. Well, this is the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Let's move on, shall we?
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Right. Overrated, underrated.
I've got a good one this week.
You do have a good one this week. So was it last week we did Michael McIntyre?
No.
What did we do last week?
We did fireworks.
Oh, we did fireworks.
What's happened here
is producer John has fucked it.
Remember when I came into the studio and said, in the plan, I've written Michael McIntyre, but it should say fireworks because I forgot to change it.
He's too busy dancing.
And then you said, that's another example of
where you should be doing this and not dancing about. So
you're not focused, producer John. You're not pressing record for the show to be on YouTube. Oh. You're dancing about. You're giving us duff scripts, mate.
Yeah.
You need focus.
You do.
You need focus as much as I'm with you in regards to Falkirk and how well they're doing, mate. This is your bread and butter. Falkirk are paying you hee-haw. You get paid here to do a job. If you don't do your job, you're rooting your neck and then you've not got the money to go and see Falkirk.
All right, Dad.
Alan says, how can Ewan think fireworks are overrated when he's an absolute rocket? P.S. Bought 30 yum-yum noodles for a tenner. Cheers. Porgy Boy says, fireworks are totally overrated. I totally agree with Ewan when it comes to the wee fanny setting them off. Ewan, did you do it with a pumpkin last week with Michael Myers mask on at Halloween and tried to cover it up by saying your mate done a melon? Nookie the Jambo Bear strikes again. Joke the Common. They are in Scotland. I live in Dusseldorf and they do them properly over here, but at home they're shite. Hate to agree with Lee Wallace. That's you, Ewan.
Because I'm the grass.
Because you're the grass. KGM says people need a kick in the balls, still letting them off on Saturday night. The poor dogs. We've got a result. We have a drum roll. If we could get the drum roll, that'd be great. No.
We never said go yet.
No, I need to say. So it's 3-2-1 go. So 3-2-1 go. You need to get the click out.
That sounded really unprofessional.
So unprofessional.
Right, okay,
I'll put my microphone down, mate. I get not focused. Every
single week, all you have to do is play the drum roll, and you never manage to do it, John. You never manage to do it. So here we go. Right. Ready to go? No, I'm saying that you're ready to go.
Yes.
Right, okay, right.
See, I've had to put my mic up now.
Right.
Turn it down now.
Aye, turn it down, otherwise. Right, 3-2-1. Go. John, I pointed.
But I thought you said wait till you say go.
Right, okay, right, okay, well, I'll do it right after the show, right. Three, two, one, go. With 82% of the vote, fireworks are overrated. Okay. Right then.
Picking up on last week's chat about watermelons.
Yes.
Do you remember the chat?
I do remember. We don't need to go into it again. No, we don't. We don't.
But I'm not going into it. I don't need to go into it. We talked about it last week.
Right, okay, that's fine. On you go.
Overrated, underrated. Watermelons. Eating them. Not putting them in the microwave for 10 seconds.
No.
Not that.
Eating watermelon. I love watermelon.
Do you?
I think it's great.
The yellow one and the red one?
The red one.
What about the yellow one?
You don't get a yellow watermelon.
You do.
They're just different.
That's a different type of melon.
No, it's a watermelon.
No, it's not. A watermelon is different. That's a honeydew. You've got honeydew melons. You've got watermelons. And what's the other one? What's the yellow one?
It's a watermelon. They're all watermelons.
No, they're not.
Are melons just not all from the same family?
You do get yellow watermelons.
Do you?
Up, yeah.
I thought you were talking about, is it canopy melons as well?
Cantaloupe,
that's the one.
So watermelons are the overrated or underrated for when you put them in a fruit salad or when you just buy a watermelon to eat and not use it for anything else other than eating.
There's a Lidl not far from me, right?
Yes.
And I went into the Lidl on this particular day and I saw that they had watermelons and it was like 69 pence. And I was like, 69 pence for a watermelon? I was like, what a bargain that is. Because usually, see, if you buy the packets,
it's £4.
Aye.
£2.40, £2.50.
So I was like, I'm getting a whole watermelon for 69 pence.
Cut it open yourself.
So I got three, right? Because I like watermelons. This was in the summer. So I like a watermelon in the summer.
Nice and cold.
It's a snack.
Aye.
So I was like, I'll get loads of them. So anyway, I did the rest of the shop, got the watermelons, put them through and all the rest of it, got home. And then I was like, by the way, I was like, I've got three watermelons. I was like, they were 69 pence each. I was like, that's like, what, £1.17 for three watermelons? No, more than that.
Yeah.
You get the point, right? And £2.07. I was like, £2.07. I was like, look. And I went to the receipt. And it turns out that it was 69 pence per kilo. So those watermelons were nowhere near as cheap as what I thought they were going to be. So just as a public service announcement, if you ever see watermelons and you think, God, that's really cheap, check that it says per kilo or if it's actually the price of the watermelon.
Actual watermelon.
Because I got stung by that. And then I was like, well, actually, that's not cheap anymore.
Aye.
I'm just seeing here, for a yellow watermelon, it's £11.
For a whole one?
For a whole watermelon.
What's the normal?
It's from myexoticfruit.com.
Go to Tesco, because my local shop is Tesco. It's near me. Go to Tesco and just see what prices it is for the watermelon, because you're right. See, when you buy them...
£3.50 for a watermelon in Tesco.
A whole one?
A whole one.
See, that's way more of a deal than buying it when it's already cut up for you, because they're charging £2.50 for cut up lemon in a little tub.
Yeah, I know, totally.
So you might as well buy the whole watermelon and cut it up yourself. Because it's only an extra pound or 80p or something. But I love a watermelon.
You've been possessed. What's happened?
No, I was holding in a burp.
So at watermelons... At Big Football Scott.
Yeah, at Big Football Scott, watermelons, overrated, underrated. And see what the three watermelons that you bought. Mm-hmm. At any point, did you fancy putting one in the microwave?
No.
Now you know what you know. The next time you buy a watermelon, will you put it in a microwave for 10 seconds?
No.
And cut a hole out of it?
No.
No.
No, I won't.
You won't. Will you be tempted?
No.
Would you consider it?
No.
What if the missus is away on a course?
No.
And she's like away for 2 weeks in Japan?
No.
Or the USA?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. Anyway.
At Big Football Scott, that is overrated, underrated. Are watermelons overrated? Okay. Remember, at Big Football Scott on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram as well, and on YouTube. Just search for Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Subscribe to the channel, please. You'll see all our stuff there when we go live as well every single night from 6 p.m. Gordon Duncan and the guys taking your calls, obviously. You're on Clyde One Super Scoreboard on Friday, aren't you?
What date is it this week? 15th?
Yeah.
Is it 15th on Friday?
Yeah, you're for the Scotland game.
Yeah, I'm on Super Scoreboard on Friday.
And then on Saturday, you're on the Big Saturday Football Show with me.
Yes.
On 4th1TFM MFR, a North Sound one from 2 p.m, keeping you up to date with former Hibs and Aberdeen striker Steve Cowan. Right, let's... Do we have a new Mass footballer? Oh.
Yes,
I'll take that as a yes, excellent.
So producer John walked...
It was Sean Dillon, by the way.
Last week. So producer John walked into the building this morning and I was sat on the sofa and he came in skipping, jumping around. He goes, I am so happy I've got this player.
I am so happy
for the Mass footballer. He was clapping and skipping and singing. He was smiling from ear to ear. He only got it last night.
Right.
He got the okay to go with it last night. So whoever this player is, I think it must be somebody who's quite big and pretty well known.
Okay.
Because so far we've had Scott Allen, who's on Super Scoreboard, which was just him cheating and just being lazy by getting Scott Allen.
Yeah.
And then he got Sean Dillon through a pal.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, Sean Dillon was a wee bit more out there.
Good. Yeah. But this one, I think, could be a big one, and I don't think it's got anything to do with Super Scoreboard.
Right, okay.
I think he's pushed the boat out here to get somebody who's quite big in football terms.
So, where do you want to start then in terms
just
of questions?
Just because of his reaction, we need to aim big here.
See, because it's a new one, I'll give you a question each today as well.
Since all right, okay, right, fair start one.
So, let's... First of all, let's discuss this between us.
So I'm thinking the fact he only got it sorted last night suggests that they might have been busy over the weekend. They might have been playing over the weekend.
That's what I'm thinking. I think it's a current player right now playing in the Premiership.
So your question could be...
Is he currently playing in the Premiership?
In the Scottish Premiership. Did he play at the weekend?
Yes.
If he's injured, that might be a weasley way of...
Let's just say, is he...
A current player in the Scottish Premiership?
Yes. Yeah.
On you go.
You happy with that question?
Yeah.
So question number one for the mass footballer. Is the mass footballer a player who's currently playing in the Premiership?
No.
No. Can I hear that again?
No.
Play again?
No.
All right. Obviously, we've disguised this person's voice, I think.
Yeah, have we? Is that disguised, okay, though?
Sounds like Tommy McLean.
Play again?
No.
I don't think so. This person is not currently playing in the Scottish Premiership.
Is that no?
No.
Okay.
So it's not a Premiership player in Scotland?
Well, they might. Well, we need to... Is this person retired, I think? Because then...
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good... That's the follow-up question to that. If he's not in the...
But then... Then they're not the...
Could it be she?
Then they're not the mass footballer.
Hold on. I say he. Is that a she?
Well, that's a good shout.
Let me hear no again.
No.
You can't tell for that.
You can't tell. But I just wonder, because he was so happy with it, does he think he's going to throw us a curveball and go with a player from the SWPL? Go for it.
Well, will I say, are you female?
Yeah, go for it. That's
okay.
The question.
My question is the mass footballer female?
No.
Oh,
stupid question.
Well, you fucking asked that!
Shut up.
But he was very excited about it.
Right, at this stage, all we need is questions to ask.
Any questions?
Any questions? Where do you think we should take it? Where do you think we should go? What should we ask? At Big Football Scott, you can leave your comments on YouTube as well. We'll get back to it next week. Okay, we're going to go round the grounds in Scottish football. We do this every single week. We had a Rangers fan on last week, talking about all happenings at Ibrox. And of course, one of the big stories over the weekend is Hibs losing again. So earlier on in the season, we had Liam from the Hibs Ramble podcast. We spoke to him earlier on the season. I'm delighted to say that Liam is back with us. How are you doing, mate?
Not bad. Could be better. What about yourself?
Aye, not bad. Again, could be better. So listen, another bit of nightmare on Saturday. We had you on earlier on in the season, and you know, we were talking about this on the Big Saturday Football Show as well. I think we're both in kind of agreement. We feel a bit sorry for David Gray, to be honest, because obviously there's so much going on behind the scenes. It seems like there's two warring factions between the Gordons and the group from Bournemouth and all the rest of you. And then just another defeat. But how long can David Gray sustain this? It doesn't sound like it's going to be much longer.
I don't think so, to be honest. I think he's really going to struggle to turn this round. It's a difficult one because obviously everyone wants David Gray to work. I don't think there's any section of the Hibs support that don't want David Gray to be a success because of who he is. But listen, if it's not working, then it's maybe for the best that we kind of start to think about moving on. But you know, listen, I'm still fully behind him. I don't think that all this change in managers malarkey is any good, really, for the stability of a football club. But listen, if he's got to go, then he's got to go.
I've said a few times over the last couple of weeks that I think that David Gray's been unlucky as well with some of the results that have gone against him. I don't think Hibs have been as bad as the results would suggest. Have I got that wrong, or are you in the right position where you should be?
No, I think there has been a couple of times, you know, you think about maybe the game against Hearts where, you know, they got a goal quite late on. We probably should have been out of sight maybe in the first half in that game. I thought we did pretty
Hold on. You should have been out of sight. Shut up, you. Shut up. You're talking pitch. What game were you watching? I was talking about more like the late goals that you've been. I know you conceded a late goal at Hearts, but and there's been quite a few games at home and away, particularly one at Tannadice, where Joe Newell doesn't do what he does. You win that game. And I think there's been games at home where you've lost late goals where you've deserved to win the game or at least get a point from it. I think you're in a false position. I think that David Gray's been pretty unlucky this season. But listen, see, at the end of the day, you live and die by your results, and it's just not happening for them.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I do think that there has been a couple of times. I mean, Dundee United last Sunday at Easter Road, when they got the penalty late on, aye, I didn't think it was a penalty. And then we were denied one that was, you know, a carbon copy of Dundee United's one. You know, if we get that, it's a different story.
Agreed.
I do think, yeah, there has been instances in which we have been unlucky and maybe decisions or VAR or whatever have gone a wee bit against us. But, you know, we can't ship as many goals as we have been in the last 15 minutes of games and expect to be anywhere else but in a relegation dogfight, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I was going to come on to that in just a wee second, but just to touch on what you said about defensively as well, I've said that on the podcast for the, I don't know how long now. I mean, Hibs have some really, really talented players and are pretty decent going forward. They'll score goals, but just weak defensively, just ship so many poor goals all the time. And I can't really remember a time when it wasn't like that. You know, it seems like it's been that for years.
Yeah, I think we've started to show up a little bit in recent weeks, to be honest. I mean, we are losing really soft, poor goals, but I like the look of Ekpeteta. He had a couple of shaky moments when he first came in the summer, but it looks like him and Warren O'Hora have maybe started to form a bit of a stronger partnership at the moment. I do think, you know, for the most part, we are pretty solid at the back, but we've just got those mistakes in us. Mm. I think the problem is, at the top end of the pitch, we're nowhere near clinical enough. And, you know, I've heard other people talking about it. You look at Ross County, they've got Roran Hale. You look at St Johnstone, they've got Sidibe and Kimpioka. Who's scoring the goals for us? You know, we've not got that that goal-scoring talisman.
Yes.
Here's the thing, right? I said it on Saturday. I don't believe for a second that Hibs will be relegated. I think you'll find your way out of this mess and you'll be okay. What's the thoughts amongst the Hibs fans? Do you think that you will get relegated or that you're in a relegation fight? I know you are at the moment, but when we come to the end of the season, will you still be in that position? I don't think you will.
I mean, you got to look at the squad, though, don't you, and think that this group of players will probably be enough to get us out of it in the long run, but they've not really shown anything that is resembling getting us out of this situation at the moment. So, nah, listen, it's, I don't want to say yes because I like to stay positive, but at the moment, if things don't change and change for the better, then we're going to be down there or thereabouts. But, you know, you never know. After January, we might get a couple of half-decent loans in for Bournemouth or wherever.
If you were in charge of Hibs right now, if you're sat in the boardroom, would you sack David Gray today?
Yes.
I would you?
I think I would. As a fan, I don't want him to go. As a fan, I want him to have the time. But I don't think the people who are sitting in the boardroom making those decisions have got the time to spare for that. I think they have got so many of these appointments wrong, and they need a right one. And I think their mantra at the moment is sack higher, sack higher, sack higher. But what needs to happen for the next manager that comes in when David Gray inevitably goes, whether it's this week or next week or at any point before the end of the season, is the Black Knights need to take over. Mm-hmm. The Black Knights need to head up the process of finding a new manager, because the people who are doing it at the moment at the club, Monty was the wrong manager, Lee Johnson was clearly the wrong manager, Sean Maloney was maybe the right manager at the wrong time. So they've not really got any of these appointments right.
Yeah.
So
I guess I'm looking at your next fixtures as well. Dundee away, not going to be easy. Aberdeen, who are flying just now, Easter Road, Motherwell away, Celtic away. I mean, that's your four games after the international break. Do you think David Gray will be in charge for the Dundee match?
For the Dundee game, to be honest, I thought if they were going to make a move, they needed to do it this morning and have the international break to get someone in, or, you know, at the very least, do it tomorrow. Because we've done this for years where we've sacked managers at the wrong time and we've taken ages to get a replacement in, and they've not been able to hit the ground running. But no, the Dundee game, is that the first game after the break?
Yeah.
I think he'll be gone. I think he'll be gone, to be honest.
Okay. Right, Liam, we'll let you go, but thanks so much for coming on. And yeah, I mean, listen.
And here's the thing, right? I can't hurt the piss at you because we're just ahead of you in the league.
I've been saying this to my pals all the time. You know, we're putting the Hearts results and the Hibs results in the group chat and that, and we're like, well, we can't even laugh at each other because we're both equally as shite.
I know. And this is the worst thing for me, is I'm sat here with a Hibs fan who's sitting bottom of the league, but we're second bottom and I can't even piss at you.
Yeah.
I mean, I know.
But listen, see Hearts and Hibs, I don't think there's anything to worry. I don't think either of those clubs will be relegated. And even if one of our clubs was even in the relegation playoff, there's nobody in that championship in the playoffs that would beat us over two legs anyway. So I think Hibs and Hearts are going to be fine this year. I wouldn't worry about it. But you're right. You want to get the right manager in place. And I don't think it's David Gray, unfortunately. As much as I feel sorry for him, I'm with you. I'd be surprised if he's in charge for the Dundee game.
Mm. Well,
I wouldn't mind that season in the championship, though. Good grounds.
Yeah, well, I know. Listen, I think the thought of being the championship is sometimes better than being in the championship. Trust me.
when we were there for three years, it felt like that.
Aye, exactly. So listen, Liam from the Hibs Ramble podcast, thanks very much for coming on, pal.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for having me.
Cheers, Liam. Cheers, thank you.
Nice, bye-bye.
There he goes. There's Liam, the Hibs fan there. And yeah, it's just all about a mess behind the scenes, Ewan, isn't it? And I think what he's saying there about the two sort of factions that are
In battle
at the boardroom, basically, I think that needs sorted. And then maybe if David Gray manages to hold on for the next couple of weeks, it might begin to turn around. So.
I think David Gray won't be there, but I wouldn't be surprised if they hold on to him and say, you need to win against Dundee.
Yeah.
I think two things will happen here. They'll sit David Gray down and they'll go, right, we're not going to make him move now, but you need to beat Dundee. Like what happened with Gary O'Neill with Wolves.
But it's all
win
about,
that game, but then and you keep your job.
But then what happens if he loses the next week? I always think that's a stupid way to do things. Like, I know what you're saying.
Every time you win a game, it gives you breathing space.
I know, but then what happens if they beat Dundee and then get battered for Aberdeen 5-0?
At Easter Road.
Yeah. Like, you know, and then what are you going to do? Well, what was the point? You may as well have just sacked him before the Dundee game.
Because Liam did say that he thinks it's inevitable it's going to happen anyway. Even if they keep the job and he stays and he beats Dundee.
If you're looking at it from a wider perspective, it's inevitable he'll be sacked anyway. Like, everybody's going to be sacked at some point.
True,
but you know
true.
What I mean. Anyway, we need to do the quiz because we haven't done it yet. So let's have the music and let's do the quiz. It was yet another win for me last week, as per usual. So it's five questions, same question for each of us, unless one of us goes for a top-in question, which is worth 2 points. I usually don't have to use my top-in question because I'm usually much further ahead than you in any way.
You do know that you sound an absolute fanny the way you go on.
How?
What? Like you did this, and I won the quiz like last week, like I always do.
Yeah.
I mean, you just sound like an absolute fanny. You're one of the worst. You can lose bad, win bad, good bad, whatever it is. But you're such an annoying winner.
You don't ever win with grace.
You don't ever win with respect or dignity. You don't win with dignity. You blag on about your fans and how you've got this support, how amazing am I. I've just won the 11th quiz out of 12 and all this pish.
But I mean, I will not
be... You're such a bad winner.
I'll not be taking lessons in dignity from you. A man who spits the dummy on a weekly basis.
Right, just get on with it.
Right. Producer John, hostess with the mostest. How are you doing?
Hi.
Hi, John.
Right. Okay. Five questions.
Here we go then. Right. Question number one.
Yeah.
Which current Scottish Premiership team have spent the least amount of seasons in the top flight? which current Scottish Premiership team have spent the least amount of seasons in the top flight?
Don't read that again, mate.
Which current Scottish Premiership team have spent the least amount of seasons in the top flight?
I've got an answer. I'm not 100% sure, though.
Have you written it down? You written it down? Have you?
And I know there's going to be Celtic fans.
Yes, this is a very...
who are shouting for the podcast just now. So thanks for that, John.
I hadn't taken that into consideration now that I come and think about it.
Right.
So there might be two answers.
Right, you got an answer.
I'm going to go with that. No, I'm going to go with that.
Yeah. Okay.
Right, okay.
That was a tough one, that.
Show us your answer, Ewan. You can go first.
I
take off his wee pouch.
My shop. I went with Dundee.
Dundee. Stephen?
It's surely Ross County.
One of these is right, and that person is Stephen. Ross County were in the Highland League here until the 90s.
Like, so Ross County didn't get promoted.
I thought you were talking about the Premiership. When did the Premiership come into your being?
Said top flight.
Top flight.
Dundee. What a shit answer.
Right, move on. Question two.
Is it Hibs?
Right, Ewan, see if you don't get this one, I'll be very disappointed. Who's Hearts' all-time record goal scorer? Who is Hearts? God. All-time record goal scorer.
You don't need the buzzer thing for this or the timer.
Right, okay.
Oh, but is it?
What?
Is it who you think it is? Is it who you think it is?
Have you written something down, Ewan?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean...
Stephen, have you written something down?
No, I was reading about this recently.
Oh, you and you're writing down something.
Right, I'll stop with Tim. You've both written down something. Right, yeah. Ewan, go.
Robbo.
Stephen.
Right, I have also gone for John Robertson, but I'm not sure.
It is.
Both right, of course you are.
Was there not somebody who played with Hearts in like the 40s or 50s called like Willie Bald or something like that who scored about?
Willie Bald's a legend.
Scored a million goals
as
well.
I think John Robertson's at 218 or 247 or something like that.
A couple of hundred, aye.
Yeah.
Come on, I'm on a roll.
Right, and...
On a roll, you've got
likewise, I'm going to give you one for Dunfermline because it's only fair. Who is Dunfermline's top goal scorer this century? Who is Dunfermline's top goal scorer this century?
I'm between two.
Oh, is it that? This century?
This century?
I thought if I gave you the all-time leading top goal scorer for Dunfermline...
It's Charlie Dixon.
Yeah, and Ewan would spit the dummy, so I thought I'll make it easy. It's quite easy.
Well, in that case... Okay, I've got an answer down.
Ewan, you got an answer?
Yeah, I've got two answers written down.
Right, you have to choose one though.
No, but I've put one and two.
What?
Number one is my answer, but I've
written
down
okay.
Two.
Okay, right, fine.
I'll tell you the two people I was between.
Right. I put down two, but I'm going with the number one answer, which is Stevie Crawford. And I went with Nisbet as well.
No, it's not Nisbet. I've also gone for Stevie Crawford.
Who do you think the other one is?
I think Andy Kirk has scored.
Oh, Andy Kirk's a great shout.
He has. But this century, I think Andy Kirk played a lot of games in the 90s as well, didn't he?
No. Andy Kirk was
at Arsenal in the 90s.
Exactly.
But you're both right.
I'm on a roll, baby. I'm on a roll, baby.
3-2.
3-2. I should have got Ross County as well, but I didn't listen to the question properly. Go.
That's your problem, you.
Yeah. Question. Right. I'm blaming myself. I'm not blaming anybody else.
Question number four. 3-2. Uh-huh. How many fingers are pointing upwards on the Kilmarnock badge? How many fingers are pointing upwards on the Kilmarnock badge?
I think I know the answer.
Yeah, I've got an answer.
Okay. Both got an answer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, I'll go first.
Stephen?
Two.
Ewan?
Two.
Nice and easy. There you go.
4-3, hold on. I've got a decision to make here. It's 4-3, isn't it?
It's 4-3. So here's the state of play. You can go for the normal question.
Get it right. You get it wrong, we've got a tie break.
If I get it right, you get it right, I've won.
Yeah.
If we both get it wrong, I've won.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can go for your top bin question.
Get it right.
Get
and
it
really
right.
Get your question right to tie break me.
Yeah. So you can really, really put the pressure on me by taking your top bin question and getting 2 points and then jumping above me, and then I'll have to get it right to stay in the game.
I'm going to go top bin. I'm going top bin to go 5-4 up.
Okay.
Right, you're in your top bin question.
For 2 points.
How many World Cups have Scotland appeared at? How many World Cups have the Scotland men's team appeared at, I should say. There we go.
I mean, bear in mind that if you do get this wrong, I'll have won, and I won't even have to answer my final question. So, we were at France 98, remember?
Stephen.
I'm trying to help you.
Stephen.
France 98.
I'm taking my head.
I remember that one.
Oh, no, I'll still hear him.
We didn't qualify for 2002, so you can rule that one out. We weren't in Germany, remember? 2006. Did we go to 2010 and say that? No, we weren't there either.
In total, how many times have we qualified?
Yeah.
Well, obviously it's in total. We didn't qualify for 2014, that was in Brazil. That'd have been a good one to go to as well. 2018, Russia. 2022 was in Qatar. We weren't at that one either, so we're still on one, Ewan. Then we didn't qualify for USA 94, remember that? And then I can't remember anyone's before that because I was born. So right, come on, Ewan. Come on, answer time.
Okay, it's 5 or 6. I remember we qualified for 5 in a row. 74, 78, 82, 86 and 90. That's 5 in a row. Was there one before that? Was there one in the 50s or the 60s? It's either 5 or 6.
Fuck.
Billy Bremner missed that one,
right,
against
you,
Brazil.
You need an answer.
Write something down.
I'm going to score fire.
We'll
say it then.
6.
6. Final answer.
Final answer.
See if it's 5, I'm going to.
Yes.
It's okay,
Ewan.
Is it not 8?
It is 8.
Yeah. I mean, I'd have got that one right. You should have just asked me. See, I was trying to help you there, Ewan, and you were blocking me out, and I was trying to help you because I knew the answer. So if you'd just let me help you, you maybe would have been not packing up your iPad and putting it in its wee pouch, as you usually do at this time when I beat you at the quiz. So you should have just listened to me, Ewan. Eh? I was trying to help you. You know? You're saying that I'm not a good winner and all this stuff. I was actually actively trying to help you there.
I can hear a noise, but I'm not listening. There's a buzzing.
Right.
There's an annoying buzz around my ears from that side of the studio.
All I'm saying is...
And it sounds quite pathetic. It's actually quite sad, actually.
How's it
I feel
sad?
Sorry for you.
How?
I was trying to help you.
I feel sorry for you, Ewan, because I was offering you help and you didn't take it. Right, see you later, Ewan. Bye, Ewan.
You're just being an annoyance.
Nice
going up. Good shit. I've got his earpods through here just before
nice doing it. Oh, your AirPods are through there. Nice doing a podcast with you, Ewan. Bye. Okay. There he goes. There's Ewan. I've won the quiz again. Slamming the door. Give us a follow at Big Football Scott. That is our Twitter account. It's also our Instagram and Facebook as well. You'll see all our stuff that go out there throughout the week. Overrated watermelons. You tell us at Big Football Scott. Let us know on YouTube as well. You can leave your comments there. We will read out the best of the comments next week on the show, as per usual. Obviously, Scotland playing on Friday night against Croatia, Monday night against Poland. So we'll have all the reaction to that. And all the build up to Monday night as well. And make sure you join us and have a lovely week, everyone. I certainly will, because I've won the quiz again. And we'll speak to you next time. Bye bye for now.